If you missed the first run of her off-Broadway play, Stuffed, it's coming back in October to New York. The lovable Queen Amin is on the phone with us right now. It's Lisa Lampanelli. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Oh, my God, you guys, I'm so good. You know what I was thinking right before I dialed the phone? I was thinking, how great is your life? You get to have a radio show every single day, right? Not worry about anyone hearing it at all, like, because no one does. Not worrying about being criticized, getting to mow your own lawn. How must that feel to be out there mowing that lawn with the Mexicans? I mean, you guys, you have the life, and you're half in remission, O'Brien, yeah. Which means I'm only half happy because you're only half dead.
You know,
you guys have the best life ever.
Yeah, we're really blessed, aren't we?
It's true. And you know what? I actually, as we were saying off the air, I only call once every 6 months so that I could figure out if John's alive or dead yet. Because I have a guy who has so much experience in radio that could really fill in for him, and it's a monkey. And you know what? I know many monkeys, and John O'Brien, that's your usefulness.
Well, now, I'll make sure somebody tweets you as soon as I die.
Oh, they have to. They
yeah.
have to.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll have my fourth assistant read those tweets. I will.
You know, you're... Now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you are so insulting. And and the other day, I'm an avid reader of the New York Times. The other day, I'm reading an editorial about Donald Trump and about insults, and there's your name, and you're quoted all over this thing, and I'm like, wow, Lisa Lampanelli's made it to the New York Times.
Well, here's the thing. This New York Times, they have this thing for me which you will never feel, and it's called respect. What happened was they had me write this eulogy for my hero, Mr. Don Rickles. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I will write yours also, O'Brien, only if it's within the next year, because I'm getting sick of you quickly. But they seriously, when Rickles died, they asked me to write a piece on him, and I think it was really well thought out, because, you know, that's my hero. Come on. Mm. I mean, but I kind of was ready for him to die, though, because I wanted to be the only insult comic left on the planet. And Jeff Ross doesn't count out of sheer ugliness.
Well, there's also that word comic, which suggests funny, which yeah. Ross is not qualified
How
for.
Dare you? Yeah, he's a Jew. Anyway, but I wrote that, and then they keep calling me with this Trump stuff, and I love it. I sound very astute. That's a word you may all look up. Your entire fan base, the three of those listeners you have, could look that up.
The point of what you said was that, you know, when you insult somebody, there's a level of respect in insulting them.
And affection.
And affection.
Yeah. I mean, and that applies to every single person I insult except John O'Brien. Yeah. I mean, that one, I kind of like make an exception for you. But seriously, if you see a comic just really go after somebody with hate, you see the difference between insult comedy and just hate.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, and when Trump's tweeting, that's the whole point of the story. They were like, isn't that entertainment? I'm like, no, like a cockfight is entertainment. A freaking matador in the ring with a bull is entertainment. But is it really entertaining to hear Trump's dumb tweets? No. I mean, first of all, the guy's foreign policy is shakier than Michael J. Fox. Please stop it. And I say that with affection, not for Trump, but for that shaky bastard, Michael J. Fox.
Right.
But you also point
you know
out...
I think Fox... Can I just divert to that little fag Canadian real quick? I feel if Michael J. Fox wanted to be of use, they should stand him behind a bar with a martini shaker, and he would really earn his keep.
I think
I try to help even people with the diseases.
Yes, you do. You really do.
And I am helpful.
And that's where you feel that love and the respect and the kindness that's behind every joke.
Of course, because if I really hated Michael J. Fox or people with Parkinson's, I would not use their name or their disease. Do you understand me?
Absolutely.
Like, don't make fun of anybody, autistic kids, little freaking Down syndromes, little freaking Mexicans. That's why I make fun of everybody I love, But that's why I leave out the French. People got to understand that.
That's it. That's so true.
I didn't realize so Mexicans was on the same level as autism and Down syndrome.
But well, they sort of are.
Yeah, spend some time with some French sometime.
All three groups are sitting outside of Home Depot just in hope. You know what I
mean? One of the things you said, though, which is, I don't know if you said it or if it was another point made in this column, is the reason you people like you and Rickles got away with that is because usually the target is in on the joke, and Trump is just never in on it.
No, I mean, he's clueless. He doesn't have, he's just, nobody's including him in anything. Like, you know, it's just, he's this terrible, I hate the word bully because it's such a buzzword, and I personally love being a paid bully, and I like being an unpaid one all throughout high school. But I will tell you that this Trump is just a bully. He just goes after half-cocked, and I used the word cock twice, and it was twice clean. I wanted to put, and I didn't use the word holster, so don't get mad at me, everybody. Oh, boy, I loved when the gays got up in arms over that one, huh? Oh, my. These gays, I mean, they would protest anything. They wanted to protest Target. How can you protest Target? That's where all those homos buy their bags crap.
You
if they ever go back? If they ever go against Bed Bath and Beyond, I'm not friends with any gays anymore because I get those 20% off coupons and I'll use them every chance I get. I will masturbate with a 20% off. Oh, and if I get a $5 off a whole order, forget about it. It's I'm going to town up there.
You were actually a high school bully?
No. I just joke.
Oh.
I was like uncool, but not uncool enough to not be invited to things. So I had fun. I was like, you know, in that movie Dazed and Confused, I was like that girl with the curly red hair, which doesn't mean I literally had curly red hair, O'Brien, if you're that stupid. It just means the personality type. Like you kind of wanted to fit in and you got invited to parties, but you were in no group, really. I had me, a gay guy who wasn't out of the closet, and another fat chick. It was magical.
Yeah. So the play stuff is coming back to New York. Yes, fine.
You're in the middle of a plug, but what's interesting is I was going to transition seamlessly because it just dawned on me, high school was great, and then in my play Stuffed, I talk about how the reason I started overeating because it wasn't until I got to college that my life went to crap, and I started using food emotionally, and thank God I did, or you would not have insult comic / playwright / Tony winner in the making, Lisa Lampanelli.
There you go. Well, but the first time this play ran, the reviews of the play were outstanding. I mean, across the board, people were saying stuff was terrific. And now that it's coming back, there's some new stuff in it. What's different this time than the last time it was on?
Well, listen, there was this one trick we did on stage with a refrigerator. It was a sight gag that was brought down the house. And so after I saw the show and saw the reviews, and the New York Times had said to, you know, the New York Times is very smart, and some other reviewers are too. They wanted more of that. And I said, you know what? I'm getting advice from one of the best theater critics in the world, and I agree. So we put in more devices, more bells and whistles. And here's the thing about it. Once you're in a nonprofit theater, you don't have that much money. Now that I got financing from some very rich people, not including myself, thank God, I got myself bells and whistles. And we're going to do it's a really full-on big budget production, which is cool. So that's why when it comes to a real theater off Broadway, you can really spend some dough. So I put in a lot more of those kind of effects. Like more lighting, sound effects. It's just going to be hilarious. And then, of course, just when you think all is happy, dun dun dun, AIDS. If we all got AIDS, we would be a male cat.
I thought for sure you were going to say cats, but no, it's AIDS.
By the way, I'm stealing that and using it because you've never said anything in our 20 years of knowing each other worth stealing, and that's what I'm saying.
No, that's not true. I actually gave you another joke one time.
Let's see if I used it. What was it?
I can't remember now. It was something about a football player and you in the locker room.
I guaranteed I didn't use it because I don't remember it.
Yeah, you told me you used it.
I think I probably said, oh, yeah, yeah, and it was probably during your non-remission, during when I felt sorry for you having the can, and I took pity on you and said, oh, John O'Brien, which, by the way, is a great segue to my play to say, see what a great actress I am? I can even make John O'Brien think that I think he's funny, which no one does and everyone knows is categorically untrue.
Right.
By the way, that's a big word, too. That's because I'm on play right now, and that's what we do. We work with words.
So are you all this play all the time now? I mean, what else is coming up for you?
I don't need anything else. Have I not done enough? This is what I resent about you. You get to sit your fat ass in Springfield and do nothing but a radio show. It's always with a comic. Oh, what else are you doing? What else? Did you ask your dentist that when he was drilling your teeth? What else are you doing?
Yeah,
I wrote a play. I'm starring in it for 6 months with three other whores. Is that not enough? But I'm doing a little stand-up on the side.
Yeah, see? You are doing something else.
By the way, one other thing I'm doing. I finally have something to brag about, and I can finally say it. I did 8 episodes. Dude, I'm a gangster. There's this new freaking awesome game show on Comedy Central coming out called Taskmaster, where you have to do these tasks against 5 other people, and you know how great I am at everything I do. Oh, these guys can eat my ass. Because let me tell you something, I'm going to win that thing. And I taped 8 episodes of that thing. I'm winning. I don't care what anybody says. I know we don't find out till the end who wins, but it's going to be on Comedy Central this winter. I'm so freaking excited, dude. I'm a gangster of love and wore a Rush t-shirt every episode.
Better than your apprentice operation?
Let me tell you, better. I won $130,000 for those homos. How much better are you going to do? What do you raise for those homeless, huh?
Well, probably $130,000 over 20 years.
Over 25 years added up, stupid. No, but that apprentice was a nightmare. As you know, it was a very difficult situation. However, I became world famous from it for my hatred of the Latinos. So it all worked out.
But, you know, I keep reading about how somebody thinks that eventually somebody's going to write a book or come out with something about Donald Trump backstage in that show. What about you being that person? I mean, are there things that you saw, heard, witnessed, were part of?
Of course. He tried to grab me by the thing, as you know, by the downstairs.
Yeah.
He attempted to do that, but my penis got in the way. That's all right. I forgave him. He actually, to be honest, this is what's so funny about The Apprentice. The only people who could possibly write a tell-all are the crew, because we saw him twice a week, if that. We saw him during the task, and you don't even talk to him. He, like, just says, contestants, here's what we need to do. Suck my huge, so that's just for the females. No, but, like, that's all you do. And then in the boardroom, dude, there's no backstage. You don't get to talk to him at all. Yeah. So I think if a crew member comes out with it, oh, that'd be awesome. I would love to hear him trying to bang all the chicks. I mean, if that's true, allegedly it is. You always say allegedly. I learned that.
Sure.
I'm pretty smart.
You can get away with it.
Stuff that's coming back to New York in October of 2017. It's always great to talk to you, Lisa. Best of luck.
Can I say where the tickets are?
Of course. Sell it. Your show.
Stuffedplay.com. Come and weep and wear your Depends and bring your cancer mask in case John shows up. Love you guys.
Love you too. Lisa Lampanelli with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.